I'm Eileen Slifrin.
And I'm Damien Fowler.
And welcome to this edition of The Current Podcast.
This week, we're delighted to speak with Jesse Pearl, the VP of Brand Marketing at Major League Soccer.
For millennials and Gen Zers, it almost feels like the MLS has been around forever. But actually, the league wasn't founded until the USA's successful bid to host the 1994 FIFA World Cup. Before then, the U.S. just wasn't a serious contender in the soccer game, or football, as it's commonly called across the world.
Times have certainly changed, but the league still has to compete with the likes of sports juggernauts like the NFL, which has long reaped higher viewership and fandom in the U.S. Jesse talks to us about the unique challenges the MLS faces compared to other sports leagues, and how it's prepping for the upcoming 2026 FIFA World Cup, and how he envisions MLS as a brand.
I feel really kind of privileged to, you know, be in the role that I am, because I think brand really guides how we think about what MLS is and what we stand for in the world. And I think there's no real separation, no real daylight between the MLS brand and MLS. And I think it's really, it's kind of the DNA and the heartbeat of who we are. You know, I think one of the first things about the MLS brand that's really important is that we are proudly North American. There's a lot of stuff in the world. There's a lot of sports in the world. There's a lot of soccer in the world. And being North American, being kind of uniquely North American, this idea of creating our own North American version of what soccer means is actually really powerful. And I think if we look at all these different places across North America, the US and Canada, where MLS is thriving, I think it is about being able to tap into something that really represents, you know, what those cities are. There's a kind of an attitude and a spirit of North America that is really kind of transcendent in culture, right? I think North American culture itself is an export. And for us, it's this idea of being really positive and confident, but in a really sort of positive way. So this kind of infectious, positive North American spirit and attitude, where we're kind of getting to remix the best of international soccer, as well as the best of North American sports traditions, and kind of make our own thing out of it. We've got playoffs, right? That's not something that happens in soccer, but I think we just kind of witnessed why it's great. And all of that sort of creates this idea of another part of our brand, which is this idea that, you know, without overstating it, it's a soccer movement here that's happening in North America, that's kind of sweeping North America. So how we get to all that really is through our supporter groups, our supporter culture, the TIFOs, the chants, the CAPOs, all the things that they kind of bring to the party is it's really kind of the secret sauce of all of this.
And what's fascinating about this as well is the fast evolution of this. I want to sort of date myself and say I arrived in this country just after college in 1994. And that was when the US, last time the US hosted the World Cup. And now we're seeing it's going to be hosting it again with Canada and Mexico in 2026. So that's basically three decades, you know, and you've seen this tremendous growth of professional soccer. Could you talk a little bit about those bookends and, you know, how you see the trajectory of the sport, how quickly the sport has grown in those three decades?
It's pretty staggering. And I think even the biggest optimists, I don't think would have bet that we'd get to where we are as quickly as we did. The 2026 World Cup is such a great kind of marker to kind of measure these things because, you know, our story, the story of MLS starts with the 1994 World Cup for sure, right? We fulfilled what the hope and the potential, you know, was. You know, we launched in 96, you know, on the heels of the 94 World Cup. And by the way, that's in no way to say that we're declaring victory and it's job done for us. I think to be in 29 cities, to have the amount of soccer specific stadiums we have, to have the support that we have in these MLS communities that are, you know, setting record attendance, to look at media partnerships like Apple that I think are rewriting the scripts in sports media, to have the current reigning Ballon d'Or World Cup champion, greatest player of all time, Messi, here in our league, you know, to look at the young up and coming players, homegrown players, stars from, you know, some of the most storied teams in South America, and players that'll also, you know, will sell for record fees that go on to win Champions League games. And so I think it's really, I think, the complete picture of everything that we could have hoped to set out to do. But for sure, you know, the best is still yet to come.
But, you know, North America, particularly the U.S., I would say, aren't known for being big soccer fans. So what would you say are like the challenges and then the opportunities of marketing soccer in this context?
You know, I do think it's changing. When you look at youth, when you look at Gen Z, when you look at 6 to 14 and 14 to 18 and these critical ages of where fandom is really, you know, set and takes root. Soccer is a top sport of interest. That's been the trend and that trend is continuing and it's really favorable for us as a sport. You know, millennials, right, are now parents of young kids and we know the influence that parents have on the interest of their children. And there are some kind of studies came out recently naming MLS as a top 10 fastest growing brand among millennials, right there alongside our great partner, you know, Apple TV. So especially as marketers means that we've just got to constantly think about how do we infiltrate culture in all kinds of creative and unexpected ways that are true to us. We've got nothing but respect and admiration for the other North American sports leagues, whether that's the NFL or NBA or I think while we've got all this respect and admiration, I think we're also able to kind of look at, you know, some of those traditional North American leagues as traditional. We really feel like we get the permission to be the enemy of tradition sometimes. And we love that. So I think kind of being able to stand for the things that differentiate us is ultimately how I think we'll continue to win over time.
Are there any numbers you can point to that show the growth of the MLS over these past three decades?
Big picture, there's probably a few things that do really kind of stand out and I think kind of signal the continued kind of really explosive growth. You know, one of the most important in sports is attendance, and we're continuing to set record attendance year over year. We just had another record year. That's a huge indicator. You know, ultimately there's we're in entertainment, right? And we're competing against, you know, sitting at home on your couch and binge watching Netflix and, you know, going to the latest restaurant and whatever else you can do. And I think for people to be motivated to go out there, go to the stadiums in record numbers kind of says it all. And I think in addition to that, we can look at things like valuation of an MLS franchise. You know, I believe LAFC was reported in Forbes as just crossing the $1 billion threshold for franchise valuation. I could tell you when I joined in 2007, 2008, that was not the value of an MLS franchise. And all those kind of economic indicators, I think, are really healthy. And even if it's not necessarily an exact quantified metric, you know, the ability to go out there and have a, you know, media partnership like Apple again, right, or our Adidas partnership and these best in category global brands, I think, again, is another indicator. And I think the last one that's worth mentioning is the brick and mortar kind of growth here. Again, I think when I started, we had, you know, a handful of soccer-specific stadiums. And now virtually all of our teams are, if they're not already playing in a soccer-specific stadium, they're in the process of opening the doors on one.
One other thing that stands out to me is as to go back to that 90s thing. I remember when I came here, it was hard to actually find, you know, international games on the dial on cable channels. Obviously, in the last few years, we've seen this sort of flourishing of the game across many streaming channels. I mean, you can watch the Premier League on Peacock, you can watch Champions League on Paramount Plus, and media and the presence of media is such an important driver of fandom. Is that one of the big factors for the MLS?
No doubt. Similarly, right? Like growing up, you know, in the 90s, being a huge soccer fan, right? You had to work so hard to seek it out. I remember running to the Barnes and Nobles to get my monthly magazine of 442 or World Soccer, and that was how you stayed current. Now there's so much access, right? Ultimately, I think that's a good thing for us. More people watching more soccer. I think it just, you know, increases the amount of interest and curiosity and conversation. And there's certainly a lot of, you know, competition for eyeballs. And, you know, what we're trying to win more than anything is hearts and minds. And it's great for you to be a fan of other soccer teams and clubs and leagues. And we really do embrace that. But if you're here in the US and Canada, you really can't get up close to that, right? And so being a fan of MLS just means something different. That's where we really feel like it's a huge differentiator, that access, you know, to kind of be a part of an MLS community.
Can you talk a little bit about the significance of the Apple TV season pass?
It's a game changer. It really is in so many ways. I mean, I think the first thing for me is as a marketer, as a kind of brand leader, there's probably no brand that's more recognized and admired than Apple on the planet. The ability for us to become an Apple brand, which I think is what's happened, right? It changes the perception. The reach of Apple, the scale, the reach, the deep love and admiration for their brand that people have, all those are really just kind of the starting points. But when you get inside the sort of Apple world and you kind of realize and learn like how many incredible layers there are to their growing and expanding ecosystem of products and services and ways for MLS to show up and be a part of that. You know, we just officially wrapped our first season together when we kind of think about all the things we were able to do as co-marketers, even year one, it's been a really fantastic starting point. And we had some incredible activations around Messi, his game here in New York. We were able to work with our friends and partner with them at New York Red Bulls and Apple to have this, you know, kind of takeover in Times Square of a live UN party that sort of traveled around the world, that moment of people gathering in Times Square to watch Messi on a giant Times Square billboard. And I think some of the real sort of inside culture things that we did with Apple Music, you know, again, partnering with a great club like Nashville, had a kit inspired by Johnny Cash, the Man in Black kit, working with the Johnny Cash estate and Apple Music. We all kind of came together working with some incredible music artists and talents to cover Johnny Cash songs. And so these really kind of integrated kind of campaigns that we were able to do.
I wanted to ask you, Jesse, about the kind of cross-fertilization with international leagues. You know, I'm a big fan of Liverpool. I watch the Premier League every weekend. And, you know, obviously there's La Liga and then, you know, the Bundesliga, all of those things, you know, and football from south of the border. How does that work? How is that an important factor in driving fandom? And is it a sort of cross-fertilization or is it like a separate kind of group of fans?
No, I think it's really additive. Our clubs that are really succeeding and have the thriving kind of fan bases that they do, those fans are also fans of other international soccer teams. And we love that. It's part of the thing that we love about soccer as a sport. For anybody that truly loves it, it's the kind of international dimension is like what makes it different than other sports, right? For me personally, it's been a lens to kind of learn about the world and learn about other cultures. And it really kind of expands people. We're never shying away from that. I think we want everybody who's a fan and has a team in, whether it's in, you know, the Premier League or the Bundesliga or Serie A or anywhere else around the world, or Argentina or Mexico, Liga MX, you know, we want them to know that they're invited to still be loyal fans of those teams, whether it's passed down from generation to generation or something they discovered on their own, because all that is complementary, right? I think, you know, that's part of what being a soccer fan, you know, looks like. So we embrace it.
As much as it's a global game, it's very much made up of very localized fans at the same time. How important are local efforts in each city? For instance, building stadiums or the infrastructure. How is that key to driving that local support or community support?
Really as important as anything. And I think it's been what's defined this incredible growth period for MLS. We were kind of chatting earlier about like what it means to be North American and the importance of this kind of brick and mortar and investment and building these like incredible cathedrals to soccer. And I think not just building stadiums, but building them in the right places, right? Building these in the kind of heart of the downtowns. I think it's made all the difference and continues to. And it's really timely. I mean, we just had MLS Cup in Columbus at lower.com field, brand new, state-of-the-art, best in sports anywhere in the world, place to watch live sports. That stadium was rocking. You know, it was completely electric. Fan 28, 30,000 strong in the rain, right? Singing and chanting for 90 minutes. And the streets were alive. The city was alive. And you don't have to go back that far to just kind of be reminded of how this franchise went through like one of the most traumatic things you could go through in sports, right? There was ownership change. There was concern about would the crew still be around. It's an emphatic, like not only are they here, but they just won MLS Cup again. On and off the field, I think it's so important that it's so local. You know, I think what Columbus represents to Crew fans is, you know, is so different than the team that came to play them in Columbus. These clubs, they represent really different ideas and communities and fan bases. But the common thread is that what they really represent is their cities and the idea of their cities in this moment in 2023. I don't think there are brands that better represent Columbus and, you know, how it sees itself. I think it being local and localized and really kind of deeply rooted in these, you know, local communities and cultures has been the difference maker.
As I mentioned, I'm a Liverpool fan and Anfield is, you know, very much a Liverpudlian tradition and they have the traditions there. And at the same time, if you look at the field, it's absolutely international. And so it's that beautiful kind of conjunction of the local and the global. I wanted to ask you about that international presence. You know, the MLS, of course, has been drawing headlines. How do you see the star power playing into your marketing efforts?
It's another part of what makes sports sports, right? Star players. It's another part of why people tune into sports, why they care about sports and love sports. And, you know, certainly people are fans of teams and clubs and but people also really care about players, right? And some of them will become fans of a team because they're fans of a player. The other thing that's so special about sports, and I think even more so with soccer, is who's going to be the next star? The idea of like the emerging stars, especially think about these homegrowns, the future of the U.S. men's and for the U.S. and Canada national teams. And, you know, I think as we look at, you know, Messi, right, we're equally excited about Benjamin Kromaski learning from a guy like Lionel Messi every day, right? These kind of, you know, future world beaters that are coming through MLS, and we're really spending a lot of time and energy and focus on how do we continue to hype up all the right players, but especially these up-and-comers, these emerging stars, and really sort of build their brands on and off the field and help more people kind of, you know, fall in love with them because they have incredible stories and we're going to be hearing about them for years to come.
I heard that the Messi shirt in that iconic pink, saw that instantly, impossible to get.
It is. I can tell you firsthand, I failed as an uncle on Hanukkah to come up with the goods for my nephew. So it is truly, it is a scarce product.
You know, along with more like just sports documentaries out there on streaming channels, there's also like the rise of live sports at the same time. How would you say the rise in like live sports on streaming contribute to the rise of soccer overall in the US?
Well, I think it's only increased the amount of soccer that's available for sure. I think we've got more access to more soccer here in the US than just about anywhere in the world. You know, there's probably a lot of people that'd be surprised to learn that. But, you know, as a Liverpool fan, I'm sure you'd agree there's a lot of people in the UK that like, man, that is a pain point in life. It's just how hard it can be to kind of watch the soccer you want to watch and the amount of blackouts and how you kind of just got to jump through hoops to be able to watch games sometimes. And so we're spoiled for choice here. And I think streaming has only increased that. To me, it's an indicator of this is the sport for the future, right? Gen Z and younger fans, linear TV is not where they're spending their time, right? They're spending their time on devices and streaming and places like YouTube and places like Apple TV. And so I think it's great for us that we're ahead of the curve on that respect as far as kind of live games. And I think we're just so well positioned for that.
The US also gets to host the 2026 FIFA World Cup, along, of course, with Canada and Mexico. How are you planning to ladder up your marketing to this massive global event?
I guess can't reveal all the secrets, but no, it's very much in focus for us and to really be thinking multi-year about not just how does the marketing kind of ramp up to the World Cup, but how does all of our activity as a business really deliberately think about what that's going to mean for us? I think what's really interesting is during the World Cup is going to be the noisiest, loudest, most crowded for anybody as a marketer. I think everybody's going to be trying to find a way to talk about the World Cup and soccer, whether they've got the official, you know, FIFA rights to do that or not. And I think all that noise is going to be good, right? I think soccer is just going to really bleed into the mainstream conversation in a way that'll kind of eclipse, you know, anything before it. But I think as you know, as marketers here at MLS, I think the most critical moment for us is actually going to be what do we do the day the World Cup ends, you know, and I think that's really the incredible opportunity for us to seize because, you know, that kind of World Cup fever that everybody's going to catch, the World Cup's going to be incredible, but it's going to come and go. And there's going to be a lot of people here that aren't going to be able to make it to World Cup games that maybe wanted to, or maybe wanted to take their kids to it, or got priced out, or there's only so many seats and so many games. And for MLS to really make sure everybody knows where they can find us, how they can find us. So again, I think meet that moment is going to be, I think it's really going to be the big unlock for us.
And that's it for season 8 of the current podcast. Stay tuned for our next season of interviews with the industry's top marketing leaders.
The Current is produced by Wonder Media Network. Our theme is by Love and Caliber. The Trade Desk team includes Chris Berklier and Kat Vestin.
And if you like what you hear, please subscribe and leave a review. Also tune into our other podcast, The Current Report, our weekly digest of what's making news across the open internet. And remember,
especially as marketers, means that we've just got to constantly think about how do we infiltrate culture in all kinds of creative and unexpected ways that are true to us.
I'm Damien.
And I'm Elise.
And we'll see you next time.